We meet the disciples on the road to Emmaus with their backs to Jerusalem. They are walking away from the holy city. They want, perhaps, to put behind them the pain of the days that have just gone by. They want to put a reasonable distance between themselves and the cross. Where are they going? Who knows? I suspect they're just trying to find somewhere comfortable to stay for a few days and wind down. Unfortunately, it turns out that it's not possible to put a safe distance between yourself and the crucified Christ. Even as they walk away with their backs to Jerusalem, Jesus walks with them. And that's the first theme we might reflect on this afternoon. The world is fairly full of people walking away from the cross of Jesus. We are, of course, normally prominent among them. But with them, with us, Jesus still walks. He doesn't stay in Jerusalem, counting to 20, twiddling his thumbs, and waiting for us to think better of it. He walks with us. And by his walking with us, he turns us round. He converts us. We heard a moment ago about the calling of this community here to be a bridge. And that perhaps is the first bridge we might think about. The bridge between Jesus and those who think they're walking away from him, and those who have their backs to him and don't even realize it. Jesus builds the bridge by walking alongside, even walking alongside those who seem to be going in the wrong direction. And when we find ourselves drifting, as we often do, with our backs to the holy city, not quite daring to turn and face the challenge of the cross, it is well worth remembering the Jesus who patiently walks with us. A bridge between Jesus and those walking away from him. But it's also a bridge of another kind. The disciples on the road to Emmaus talk about what has been happening in Jerusalem, about the terrible and traumatic events around Jesus of Nazareth in recent days. They even talk about the beginnings of the resurrection story, about the empty tomb. But it's a story. It's something in the past. And suddenly, they discover that Jesus does not belong to the past, but to the present. And the second bridge is built between the past and the here and now. The Jesus who builds bridges with those who seem to be walking away is also the Jesus who builds the bridge between history and today, and indeed tomorrow. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Words which, very significantly, we repeat on Easter Eve when we bless the Easter candle. We're not allowed to think of Jesus as an interesting historical figure who came to a sad end. We're not even allowed to think of the resurrection as a rather startling thing that happened on Easter Sunday morning, but nobody quite fathomed it. The resurrection has to be the encounter today with Jesus. The empty tomb is crucial to the resurrection story, and yet it is nothing without the encounter with the person of Jesus. And Jesus alone can build that bridge between past and present, and thus present and future. Let's throw in a third bridge, shall we, for good measure? It's beginning to look like the Thames, isn't it? A bridge every few hundred yards. The disciples are walking away from the other disciples. In case you hadn't noticed, there are quite a lot of disciples left in Jerusalem. These particular disciples have decided to go somewhere else. And there's another bridge to be built. The bridge which is brought alive so remarkably at the very end of the story, when our two disciples from Emmaus have rushed back, breathless and perspiring, to Jerusalem. They break in with what they think is going to be amazing news, and before they can get the words out, because they're a bit breathless, the disciples in the upper room say, "Guess what? Jesus is risen." And I can't help imagining the two disciples from Emmaus say, actually, yes, that's what we were going to tell you. But the bridge is between disciple and disciple, between one disciple's awareness of the resurrection and another. Together, we discover the resurrection by meeting the risen Christ in each other. And as soon as the bread has been broken at Emmaus, the two disciples know this. They know they can't keep this to themselves. They have to go and share it back in Jerusalem, turning back into the place they've been walking away from, towards the cross, towards the past, and into a shared future with those other friends of Jesus who have met him. The bridge between disciple and disciple. The bridge between your meeting with the risen Christ and mine. The risen Christ who is no one's property, no one's private business, but everyone's world, the new creation in which we live together in the discovery of each other and the delight in each other. Three bridges, three encounters, three ways in which Jesus pulls together what seems to be drifting apart, pulls together the cross and the future, pulls together the past and the present, pulls together disciple and disciple. And of course, the reason that the Holy Eucharist is at the heart of the Church's activity and experience is that all this is exactly what is going on whenever we meet for the Lord's Supper. Because at the Eucharist, all these three bridges are there, aren't they? Here is the bridge between the cross and the resurrection. Here is the bridge between past and present. Here is Christ our contemporary. Here is the experience of one disciple meeting the experience of another. And here, importantly, is that vision and realization of the end of all things, which tells us that every human journey converges on the risen Christ, if it's truly human. So that the bridge between Jesus and those who think they're walking away from him is already anticipated, already taken in. This is where all people come, where all history folds in. He was known to them in the breaking of bread. They knew as he shared the bread with them. They knew that in him the bridges were built. Later this afternoon, we'll be sharing fellowship with the risen Jesus. We will be sitting to eat with Jesus of Nazareth. And it's important sometimes to put it in terms as plain and simple as that. The Holy Eucharist, the Mass, the Lord's Supper, the Divine Liturgy, it all comes down to one thing: sitting in the company of Jesus of Nazareth, who is not dead but alive. Jesus of Nazareth, who meets us in one another in his risen glory and generosity. Jesus of Nazareth, who meets us in the most unlikely people, herring off in all sorts of different directions. Jesus of Nazareth, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His gift is that day after day, year after year, century after century, and millennium after millennium, he sits and eats with us. His word, his act, his invitation, his love, real yesterday, today, and always. The bridge between heaven and earth. And we go from the Eucharist equipped as bridge builders, equipped ourselves in Christ to try and hold those things together, to try and walk with those who think they're walking away from him, to hold together the reality of remembered trauma and pain and the ineradicable reality of hope, to hold together the experiences of the disciples, diverse as they are, in one fellowship. Eucharistic people, resurrection people. The church, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not because it never changes, but because it always does. The church, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because Christ is, and Christ's invitation is always what it is. Back we go, breathless and perspiring, not perhaps so much perspiring as drenched today, to our brothers and sisters, to the fellow disciples waiting for us, for us pilgrims back home in the United Kingdom. And just as we open their mouths to tell them what we've been given in this pilgrimage, we better remember to open our ears to hear what they have to say to us about the Jesus they've been meeting while we've been away. And together, we get on with the bridge building. In his name and his power. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.